If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 this morning. And while you're turning to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, I have a few pieces of motherly advice that were given and that I've heard. And so I want to, just as you're getting there, just kind of set the tone for this morning's message. One mom said of her children, "I want my children to have all the things that I could never afford. And then when I get old, I want to move in with them." Another mom said that any mother could perform the jobs of several air traffic controllers with ease. When asked, one kid said, "My mom's menu always consisted of two choices, take it or leave it." The mom said, "When your mother asks you, do you want a piece of advice, it's a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no, you're going to get that advice anyway." One other person said, "If evolution really works, how come moms only have two hands?" And a sweater is a garment worn by a child when its mother is feeling chilly. And then lastly, a mom giving advice to a new mom said, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a mom giving advice to another mom, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen, and when they're finished, I climb out of it." No matter where you are in your journey, no matter what brought you to this place, know that we are delighted that you are here today as we celebrate and honor our moms, as we appreciate what God has done in and through them to bring us into the world. I recognize that for many of you, Mother's Day presents a lot of emotional challenges. You had a hard relationship with your mom. Maybe your mom has gone on to be with the Lord. Maybe this day you miss or grieve something that's missing from your heart. So this morning, we walk into this particular passage, recognizing this passage could be for you as a mom. It could be for anybody across this room, households of faith. It could be just for you today as an individual following Jesus. So wherever you are, know that this message is for all of us across the space. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. If you have your Bibles and you have it ready, you can go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And Paul writes, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Lord, we thank you for these words. Would they become instructive for us? Would the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord? You are our rock and our Redeemer. Thank you for this day, what it means for us, and how we celebrate. Help us stay near to your word as we leave. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, I want to help answer maybe two critical questions for us this morning. Number one, how does peace rule in our hearts and in our home? That's number one on your outline, the question number one on your outline. How does peace rule in your heart and in your home every day? I believe God put me on this planet as a human being, as a minister of the gospel, with a singular purpose to help people shepherd peace, to help shepherd peace. That's my goal on this earth. I want to help people know peace, understand peace, live in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Now, I would believe today that if you had a choice between having more peace or less peace, what are you choosing? More peace, right? I doubt very highly that any of you say, "My life is as blissful and peaceful as it could possibly be. To get any more peace, couldn't handle it. I could not take any more peace in my life. Don't even try. Don't even bring me any more peace." No, of course not. All of us in this room would say, if I could have just a little more peace in my life, I would gladly receive it. Anybody say amen? Amen. Come on now. Be with me, all right? We need some peace in our lives. And so the question we're going to ask this morning is, how does peace rule in our heart and in our home throughout our days? No matter the season, the circumstance, the high, the low, we want peace in our hearts and in our life. We want Philippians 4, peace that surpasses all understanding. And so this morning, let's go to what the text gives us from Colossians chapter 3. There's a lot of places we could go and explore, but this morning, let's see what we can find in Colossians chapter 3 together. All right? First, the first blank under question number 1 is thankfulness. Thankfulness. All right, if I can go back for just a moment, Colossians chapter 3, in these three verses, I want you to count how often Paul is going to address the reality of thanksgiving in the midst of the Christian life, all right? So if you've got your pen, underliner, highlighter, walk with me through these three passages again, and I want you to see if Paul's trying to give us anything, okay? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. All right, numero uno, all right? Be thankful, right there, boom, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms with thankfulness in your heart. It's as if Paul's saying, if you missed it the first time, let's go back through it again. Do it with thankfulness in your hearts, singing hymns and psalms and spiritual psalms with thankfulness and gratitude in your heart. It's as if on this Mother's Day, if it's as mothers you've ever had to repeat yourself a few times, Paul's going to do some repeating. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. What do you know? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times, three passages, it's as if Paul is saying, please don't miss the heartbeat of gratitude in your life. As I've said many times, is there anything more antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ than a grumpy, gripey, and ungrateful believer? Is there anything more antithetical and opposite to what God's called us to as people who have been changed and marked by the gospel of Jesus Christ than to be gripey, grumpy, and ungrateful? As believers, you and I, knowing Jesus and what he's taken us away from, should be the most grateful people on the face of the planet. That you have been moved from death to life. You've been given a hope and a future. And so if there's nothing else good on your plate today, know that when you die, you will be forever in the presence of the Lord. That is enough to make us grateful. And so here we come to this passage, and three times, it's as if Paul is waving from the mountaintops, saying, with gratitude, be thankful, giving thanks to God our Father through him. And we let the peace of Christ, we usher in the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. I love what Paul writes. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let it take reign in your heart. Many times we let a lot of other things rule in our hearts and our homes other than the peace of God. We let bitterness and envy and strife and quarrelsome, division and bitterness, anger, frustration, anxiety. We let these things rule in our homes and our hearts other than the peace of God. I was, this Mother's Day, it's always a good time to reflect and think about our moms and think about my mom and all the things she taught and showed. And I think about her selflessness. I think about on many occasions like this on a Mother's Day that our family would have people over to our house growing up for family to have a celebration of Mother's Day. And I was thinking about one particular, it was Christmas, Mother's Day, Thanksgiving, I can't remember, that mom had risen early in the morning to create one of our favorite family dishes, a big old pot or whatever you would call it, casserole dish full of lasagna. Oh man, we love some lasagna in our house. I remember mom waking up early, getting the lasagna ready and getting ready so that she could put it in the oven while we went to church. Now remember, this was the 90s. It was different. There's probably laws against leaving a lasagna in the oven while you're gone. But it was the 90s. It was a different time, all right? So she put the lasagna in the oven, and we're going to go on to church and come back so that when we arrive home, oven door down, lasagna boiling hot, and we're going to eat and feast together as a family. Only on this particular occasion, we came home from church, opened the door, everybody's gathered in, we're going to pull the lasagna out, get ready to cut it up, and for whatever reason, mom had forgotten to set the oven and turn it on. And so what we got besides a steaming hot lasagna was a piping cold lasagna. We have laughed for many years over that story of mom forgetting to set the oven. Everything done right, everything prepared right, but forgetting to set the oven to the right temperature to cook the lasagna. And I believe so many times in our own existence, we forget to set our hearts and minds to the temperature of gratitude. We get going, we get doing so many things that we just simply forget to usher in gratefulness in our hearts, to be tuned to gratefulness, to be thoughtful in our gratefulness, constantly thanking God for all that we see and experience. Our hearts as believers should be shaped by gratitude. And so we see, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are indeed called, and be thankful. The antidote to so many things is gratitude. But you see, there's a second part. You see on your outline, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And secondly, how do we let the peace of God rule in our house and homes? We let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Not poorly, richly. We let the word of Christ dwell in us. That we're nourished in God's word. We're buoyed by God's word in our hearts and in our lives. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. Paul is reminding us that we dwell in God's word. We're nourished in God's word. Can I lovingly tell you, brothers and sisters, that 1 hour a week in the church is not enough to nourish yourself in the word? It's not enough to say you're dwelling in the word, to simply come for 1 week and or 1 hour a week and open your Bible. Friends, you need far more of God's word in your heart and in your soul. I think for many of us, we're not nourished in the word. We are malnourished in the word. Sometime in college, I had this very bright idea as a guy who has always had a similar figure since about fourth grade. I've weighed about the exact same amount of poundage. Since about, I think it was truly fourth grade, I've weighed about the exact same. Don't fluctuate, right? Just same. And sometime in college, I got sick of being so beanpole skinny that I thought I need to put on some weight. And so against every doctor's advice, on my bike, twice a day, I stopped by Burger King. Twice a day, I ordered 2 hamburgers and 1 chicken sandwich. Twice a day, so twice a day, every day, I would have 4 hamburgers and 2 chicken sandwiches, fries, and a drink. This was my meal for 2 weeks, to put on weight. Let me tell you a secret. I felt like trash. Garbage. Horrible. Disgusting. Those 2 weeks were nauseatingly horrible. In fact, I lost weight. Lost weight on a diet like that. Felt horrible. Just like couldn't concentrate, couldn't sleep. I felt like when I sweat, I was sweating out just toxins from my body. It was a horrible experience. Terrible. And I look back and I think, how obviously terrible would I feel being nourished by such trash twice a day, every day for 2 weeks? You would look at me not having any medical advice and be like, you're a moron. That's a terrible diet. Of course you're going to feel terrible. How could you run? How could you do anything? That's a terrible diet and you're going to feel like trash. And yet at times in our spiritual souls, we look and say, why does my soul feel like trash? Why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so lost? Why do I feel so discouraged? Why does my life fueled by anxiety? It's because we're ingesting and pulling in so much trash into our souls. We're not dwelling in the Word of God. We're dwelling in trash. We're ingesting trash. We're dwelling in garbage. And yet we look around and say, soul, soul, why are you so downcast? Soul, why do you feel so alone? Why do you feel so depressed? Soul, why do you feel so anxious? And yet day in and day out, we're nourishing our very hearts with the trash of this world. How do we usher in peace? We're nourished by, we're strengthened by, we're near to, we're fastened to, we're holding fast to the Word of God. And so I'll ask you, moms, dads, individuals across this room, are you dwelling in the word of Christ richly? Are you teaching one another and admonishing one another in all wisdom? Are you singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your home and in your household? Are you giving the word? Are you getting the word? Are you ingesting and dwelling in God's word? Or do you feel like those 2 weeks of Burger King and you just feel like your soul is trash? Can I tell you, after eating Burger King for 2 weeks, I wanted a salad real bad. I craved what was good. I craved fruits and vegetables. I craved good things for my soul. And for some of you, your soul just craves the good word of God in it. Your soul is in turmoil. You're going off into all sorts of ways and you're anxious and all sorts of crazy things. And you just need God's word and his people and his presence to surround you and to nourish your soul. You move from verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you move to verse 17, and it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So let's ask question number two, how do we have peace in our hearts and homes? And number two, how do I do everything in the name of Jesus Christ? That's what we want to ask secondly. How do we do everything in the name of Jesus Christ? Now, I think we could probably fathom how we go on a mission trip in the name of Jesus, how we go to church in the name of Jesus. But how do we do everything in the name of Jesus? How do you scrub dishes? How do you clean toilets? How do you cut the grass? How do you go to work every day in the name of Jesus? How do you do the simple, mundane tasks in the name of Jesus? Day in, day out. Let's unpack for a moment what the writer of this passage is talking about. Whatever we do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. It takes us back to Easter when we talked about being an ambassador for Christ. It talks about everywhere we go, God's making his appeal through us. It's as if we're wearing a t-shirt that just says, Jesus, everywhere we go. Just for demonstration purposes, let's do this together, okay? Let me just imagine that today, and actually this week, Caden does our outreach here at the church, does an incredible job, and he got some t-shirts printed here, and they're really wonderful t-shirts. Let me put one on here. Let's just say today, I wear this t-shirt, and I head out from church, all right? And I've had a pretty grumpy day on this Mother's Day. And let's just say, while wearing this wonderful First Baptist shirt, that I say, hey, Britt, I want you to take the kids home. You got to figure out lunch by yourself on this Mother's Day. I'm going to the bar. I don't know, but bars open on this Mother's Day, but here I am having a rough Mother's Day. So I'm going to go to the bar on this Mother's Day, and Brittany's going to fend for herself and the kids. One terrible idea. But secondly, I'm going to go to the bar, and I'm going to get blackout drunk at the bar. After preaching this sermon wearing this t-shirt. I hope that all of you would say, at least take the t-shirt off, man, right? But in the day, you'd say, that's unthinkable. What in the world, right? You can't do that. How you can't go wear this t-shirt after preaching from this sermon, this pulpit, to then go out, leave Brittany at home with the kids, and go out to the bar and get blackout drunk. That's ridiculous. Let's just say for a moment, I wake up after being drunk from the floor of the bar, and I look down at the clock and I realize, oh man, I've got a baseball game, Micah's baseball game, I gotta be there. I don't change clothes, I go straight out to the ball game, and let's just say that I'm a little hungover, and so the umpire makes a bad call, and I run out onto that field still wearing this t-shirt, and I use every curse word that this pastor boy's got, and I just lash out on that umpire. In the midst of everybody, I am lashing out, cursing him up and down, blessing him from heaven to earth. I hope at this point you're thinking, this could not happen. This would not make any sense. This is not right. Let's say the umpire ejects me and I take the minivan over to Walmart and I load up with like a bunch of cases of Bud Light and I don't pay for it. I just steal it because at this point, who cares, right? And I load up the minivan full of cases of Bud Light and I head home until the cops pull me over and end up in jail. And my mugshot, I'm wearing this shirt in the mugshot, right? You can just see the very top, First Baptist Church. I hope at some point you're like, this is insane, right? Mark, you could never do that. This church should fire me almost instantaneously because that would be a horrible witness, right? You would say, there's no way that I could leave this pulpit and do those horrible things while wearing this shirt after preaching from this pulpit. It seems utterly insane. In the same way, it should feel as utterly insane to say that we'll be envious in the name of Jesus, that we'll hate our enemies in the name of Jesus, that we would be angry with and chastise our children and our wives and our spouses in the name of Jesus, that we would be lazy at work in the name of Jesus, that we would treat people unkindly in the name of Jesus, that we would be greedy in the name of Jesus, that we would hate in the name of Jesus, that we would be unkind in the name of Jesus, that we would gossip in the name of Jesus, that we would slander in the name of Jesus. It should seem even as foreign for us to look at this and say, it's unconscionable that we would do these things in the name of Jesus. But what do we do in the name of Jesus? We work hard unto the Lord in the name of Jesus. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves in the name of Jesus. We love our spouses and our children in the name of Jesus. We love our bosses and coworkers in the name of Jesus. We go to school in the name of Jesus. We're kind to those around us in the name of Jesus. We treat the stranger kindly in the name of Jesus. In the same way as I wear this t-shirt and I go about my life, and it would be unconscionable to do some of these things while wearing this t-shirt, recognizing who I am and what I represent. In the same way as you leave these walls and you go out into the world around you, you are a representative of Jesus Christ, bought by the blood of Jesus. Everything you do is in the name of Jesus. And so at some point, you should come to those moments and say, can I do this in the name of Jesus? Can I yell at this person in the name of Jesus? Can I steal from this person in the name of Jesus? Can I be unkind? And you can think in the same way, there's no way I can do this in the name of Jesus. There's no way I can use this language in the name of Jesus. There's no way I could treat this person like this in the name of Jesus. And it should sober us up. It should sober us up quickly. That if the gospel has transformed your heart and your soul and your life, everything you do is in the name of Jesus. So that would bring us to this question, then how do we do the most simple and most mundane things of our lives in the name of Jesus? How do you give glory to God in the name of Jesus in the midst of all that you do? If you look at the bottom of your outline, let me give you a few quick words. The gospel gives hope to the hopeless. The gospel gives hope to the hopeless. For those of you in this room, you feel hopeless. The gospel gives you hope. There's a bright future and a plan in front of you. He knows and he's placed you. There's hope for the hopeless. There's also rest for the restless. When you feel restlessness in your soul, there's rest for you. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There's purpose to the purposelessness. And there is meaning to the meaningless. We go through that again. There's hope to the hopeless, rest to the restless, purpose to the purposelessness, and meaning to the meaningless. Sometime around February, around Valentine's Day, Brittany and I were having some discussions about just how heavy and difficult at times it seems like parenting three kids can be. It seems like there's a mountain of laundry all the time. It seems like there's a never-ending stream of dishes in our sink all the time. It seems like there's a kid waking up at 2 a.m. all the time. For a while, there seems like there is always a diaper to be changed, and you sit and look at these mundane tasks. Fill in the blank for you. What are your mundane tasks that you just think, oh, there's hardly any way to give God glory in this? We sit around Valentine's Day. We went to a Sunday school gathering with families about our age that have kids about our age, and up at the front, there were three couples who had had kids that had already graduated from high school, gotten into college, or left and gotten married. As they were talking about what they would give to have a stack full of dishes in their sink, what they would give to have a load of laundry to do with their kids, how they miss the opportunity to invest in their kids day in and day out as they're gone now. And it was the perspective that I needed to remind me as I'm mowing the grass or cutting the shrubs or doing the dishes or changing a diaper, that God has so given me this time in my life that he saw fit to allow me to be the father to these three kids, the husband to my wife, that he saw fit for me to be around the people and the spheres of influence that he has called and entrusted for me to be. In the same way, he's called and entrusted you, gospel people, to be where you are. It gives meaning to even the most meaningless of tasks. As we cut the grass, we're thankful to the Lord that there's kids to play in that yard, that have the strength to cut the grass. That as the cold ice water hits the tongue, you give glory to God for simple pleasures like a glass of ice water to be thankful for. As they talked, it was a reminder that that perspective of what we're doing has ramifications far out into the future. The gospel makes even the most meaningless of tasks real. How do we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? We do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether we eat, whether we drink, all that we do, we give glory to God. So the question's going to be, as you leave this place, you're not wearing a First Baptist t-shirt, you're wearing the marks and signs of Jesus all over you. Everywhere you go, everything you do, every conversation, every opportunity is an opportunity to demonstrate what Jesus has done for you. By God's grace, I hope that you step up to the plate, and I hope that you live full of gratitude and grateful, and that you experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of this family of faith being together. On this Mother's Day, we thank you again for our moms. But Lord, we ask, we do what Colossians chapter 3 reminds us, that we would be people who put on, as God's chosen and beloved people, compassionate hearts, that we would forgive as you have forgiven us, that we would be your ambassadors everywhere we go. We would do everything in the name of Jesus. Give us great wisdom and sober-mindedness to live and act in a way that glorifies you. Where we want peace in our hearts, so I pray that we would dwell in the land of thanksgiving and in your word. Help us, Lord, to do that well. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. As Brad comes and leads us, we're going to sing, "It Is Well." When peace like a river attendeth my way, we can sing, "It is well with my soul." Maybe today you can't say, "It is well with your soul," and you want to be and trust in Jesus for maybe the very first time. You can walk down one of these aisles. I'll be here to receive you. Maybe you want to join this fantastic family of faith. You can come down one of these aisles as we sing. Whatever's on your heart, respond right now. Whatever's on your heart. Let's stand. Let's sing, and let's respond together as a family of faith.